This morning's second public reading of Scripture, and if you've been around the block with me, you know that we do a lot of reading. We have a lot of Bible pages turning because I want people to look at God's Word and not me. I'm just a clay vessel, okay? A frail man, feet of clay, lips of clay, just like you. The center and the focus is His Word in our Savior. Verses 25 to 32 here this morning. For a quick context, we're in the part of history now where David has been anointed king only over Judah. And he's going to have that position for about 7.5 years. Down the road, he's going to be anointed again, but this time over the entire 12 tribes. So David had a really rough inauguration into his throne. At this time, Saul and Jonathan, Saul his enemy, but Jonathan his close and beloved friend, died in battle in chapter 1. And so now that dust is settled. David has been anointed king only over Judah, the tribe of his family. But the rest of the nation has gone into rebellion. There's been a little battle. Some men have died. And so we've left off with bloodshed on the field. Verse 25. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on the top of a hill. Now Abner was the general, Saul's general, that placed on the throne one of Saul's remaining sons as a usurper to the throne. While at the same time David is being anointed king just over Judah. So you have two kings for a short season. And you had a fight. And Abner's side loses. Okay. Abner's on the run for his own skin. All right. And so things are not yet settled. What was settled on the battlefield wasn't enough. So Abner is on the run. Then Abner called to Joab. Joab is David's general. And said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Are we always going to have war? Is there always going to be bloodshed in order to solve a tit-for-tat? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren?" Joab said, "As God liveth, unless thou hast spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up every one from following his brother." So Joab blew a trumpet, like the town crier ringing a bell. And all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more. Neither fought they any more. So apparently these two generals come to an apparently meeting of the minds that at this time any further bloodshed is not needed. And so Abner's going to go his way, maybe with his little following or what's left of it. And Joab is going to return back to David here. So Joab blew a trumpet, verse 28, and all the people stood still and pursued Israel no more, neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain. So here he is, what's ever left of his insurrection. And they passed over Jordan and went through all Bithron, and they came to Menahem. And Joab returned from following Abner. When he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men in Asahel. The 19 men, when the 12 men on each side went to battle, they start duking it out. David lost 19 of his men in that hustle. Asahel is one that was running fast after Abner in chapter 2. He wanted to kill him, but Abner kills him. Well, that's how many men David lost. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 303 men died. So there you can see the tally, that David's side won quite handsomely. And they took up Asahel and buried him in a sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day. Please be seated. Isn't it amazing? Those of us that have been around the block, those of us who have gone to school or gone to college, Like me, I love watching documentaries. I love ancient history. I had the opportunity of being stationed in Asia twice, West Germany for an entire 3-year stint when they were still divided country. Been to Paris twice, been to Cuba, been north of the Arctic Circle. And guess what you find going all of these places, North Dakota, South Dakota, Arizona, Texas, New Jersey, my word. Uncle Sam sent me to a lot of places. And what did I find in all of those places? Even with people in uniform, there are some people that ain't gonna like you. And you ain't gonna like them. And sometimes it comes to blows. Hopefully not with fists, like in this case where they go to battle and simply kill each other with swords. But with words. Beloved, words can be very, very, very powerful. If you preach the gospel biblically, those become words of life upon the ears, upon those who are lost, and they hear those words. And when God opens up their eyes and gives them a new heart, they begin to reach out to those words of life, and then they embrace the Savior. But have you ever noticed the same gospel that softens hearts is the same gospel that hardens them? Here's a beautiful illustration about how come a lot of people reject the gospel. Are you ready? Let's take the sun, okay? And I'm going to get a candle. In the back of my yard yesterday was 100 degrees. If I put that candle out there under Big Red, it's going to get soft and squishy. What happens if I take a piece of children's Play-Doh and I put it right next to the candle and come back 6 hours later? I'm going to find softened wax and the Play-Doh dry, hard, and brittle. That's a beautiful picture of the gospel. Same sun, right? Would you agree? Same sun. Two reactions. Softening. This one. Stiffened. Hardened. With the resolve, I will never believe in your Savior. Same sun. Two different responses. File that as a good illustration that you can teach people. Same sun, two different materials, and two different responses in the end. So here we are. So it seems that David, right now, his rule as king just over Judah seems to be kind of a lull in the action. Abner comes back, his 4-star general. Probably he's going to build up David's army, make sure that David the king is very safe and kind of situated on his little throne. And he's only going to have that for 7.5 years. And then other crises will come into the picture, when David will then take the remaining 11 tribes and then consolidate that into his kingdom. And it's that kingdom that will then be transferred to Solomon. And under Solomon's reign, the empire of Israel is extended all the way to the Euphrates River, modern-day Iraq, Iran. And all the way to the south of the River of Egypt, not the Nile. But before you hit the Nile, there was another little river that basically separates Egypt from the Sinai Peninsula. All that real estate Solomon had. And then it would be Solomon's son, Rehoboam, the youngster, the young whippersnapper, who will not follow the counsel of the aged, bald-headed, gray-headed men, who will then result in the civil war, which will then separate 10 northern tribes from 2 southern tribes, Benjamin and Judah. And in 721 B.C., the Assyrians will gobble up those 10 tribes and scatter them to the wind. 100 and some years later, on three different invasions, in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar will come and destroy Benjamin and Judah, destroy and burn to the ground the city of Jerusalem and Solomon's beautiful temple to the ground. Leaving the prophet Jeremiah to be the lone pastor sitting on his hiney, surveying a ruined city, the smell of burnt flesh, and the vultures and the buzzards picking the flesh of his congregation in 586 BC. And so here's David's kingdom. It's in its very incubator. It's in the womb. And we're going to begin looking at David's life through the book of 2 Samuel. So may God choose to bless his word. Amen.